Good morning. Welcome. As I was in here, and then I saw Mr. Cliff, because I've seen that t-shirt that you have that says the sun shines in the valley, which is true. The sun does shine in the valley. It's not shining out there now, but the sun is shining right in here, literally and figuratively. I'm grateful to be here with you on this first Sunday in August when we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And just a reminder, everyone is welcome at communion. Also, passing on that Pastor Clifton and First Lady are down in Aspinwall today, and so we send their prayers and they send their hellos to you. Are there any other announcements this morning? Yes, BJ. Okay, very good. You can see BJ for more information about the church picnic, which will be the last Sunday of August, immediately following worship. Thank you. Yes. Well, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our bodies to give everything we have to God, from whom we received everything. I invite you to take a slow breath in, acknowledging that every breath is from God, and breathe out anything that does not serve God's purpose of love. Let us say together our call to worship. The Holy One wondrously demonstrates steadfast love. Seek refuge at God's right hand.
Let God's love lead us and flow through us.
The Holy One attentively hears the just cause. Seek justice and righteousness for God's name's sake.
Let us be steady.
The Holy One faithfully vindicates our lives. Seek the path God paves for us.
Let us worship,
honor, and praise the God who delivers, redeems, and restores. Praise the Holy One. Amen. And I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing together hymn number 509, All Who Hunger, Gather Gladly.
So, praise, praise, praise.
please pray with me. Holy One, we strive to be your people and reflect your goodness in the world. Yet the way of wickedness is not far from us. Fortify us in your word and drench us with your compassion so that we may find the courage to repent and repair. Help us acknowledge the harm we have allowed and the pain we have caused. Empower us to make things right with our neighbors and with ourselves. Let your grace and mercy liberate us to be agents of reconciliation and restoration in our families, communities, and the world. Amen. Blessed of God, receive God's transformative and liberating grace. We are made new in Christ, and now we can make a new way in mending broken relationships and forging new ones. Remember that the one who is gracious and merciful and good to all is abundant in you and remains near you always. Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
And let us say together one expression of our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us greet one another as a sign of God's love and peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, dear ones. Yes. There was one prayer card here on the pulpit when I came, but I'm not sure if it's for last week because Pastor, but of course we want to pray for Suzanne all the time anyway. We love her very much. And she had eye surgery. It did not go as well as expected. And we're hoping that as days continue. How is Suzanne today, AJ?
Fine.
Okay. It's progressing. Okay. And we all have many concerns and needs on our hearts and joys that we celebrate too. Let us remember those and others as we pray together. Here we are, O God, more than halfway through the year. And we think back on the past 6 months and we give thanks for the abundance of blessings we've received. New relationships, new hope, a deepening of our reliance on you and one another. We're thankful for promising treatments, for successful surgeries, for births and time spent with grandchildren. In every good thing, you have celebrated with us. And at the same time, this year already, we have suffered great losses and felt deep pain. We look at crises that deepen the war with Iran. We look at the way that greed and revenge and arrogance and hate seem to drive so many decisions around the world. And yet we know that we do not cry or lament alone. You have never moved away from us. You have never and will never let us go. You sustain us through it all. With confidence that your presence will never leave, we lift up to you the personal needs and aches that we carry. And as you sustain us, God, you empower us. The living example of Jesus, the breath of the Holy Spirit, may we tap into the power with which you made us. May we work side by side one another and do what you call us to do, work for justice, love boldly, and bring about your kingdom here and now. We pray this and all the prayers that we cannot even put into words in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we sing hymn number 211. Hear our O Lord, my plea for justice. Please be seated, and I invite the ushers to come forward as we receive our morning's offering.
our lives, that comes from you, O God. So we offer that to you, and we offer to you these gifts set apart. May they be used for the good of all of your beloved creation.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. This is the reading, the word.
Thank you, Lynn. We thank God for the gift of God's word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been with you a little more than a year now, and I know I've shared a lot of my mother's pearls of wisdom with you. I probably have shared this one, but I'll share it again, even though she didn't heed it herself. But it was, you can always fall in love with a rich man as easily as you can fall in love with a poor one. So you can pass that on. She didn't do anything with it. But one of her other pearls of wisdom, which is just reality, and my brother and I talk about this a lot, is that she would say, rejection is part of life. And that's true. I mean, I don't know about your experiences, but I've known some rejection. It's no shock to any of you that I was rejected from the high school choir. I had my share of grant applications, online dating requests. But I gotta say, the worst rejections I ever had, I think, were from UPMC. You know, about 10 years ago, I had a piece of my liver rejected. I mean, come on! And then just last year, they rejected my kidney. I mean, you see these signs everywhere. We need organ donors. I'm trying to downsize. I want to help somebody out. It's rough. Some of it, I look back on it now, and it is funny. It is. But at some point, we all get turned away. From, as a child, you're not yet tall enough to ride this ride, to, I'm sorry, you're not welcome here, you're the wrong color, you worship God in a different way, you love in a different way. I'm sorry, you're not fully welcome. And this gospel story that we heard again this morning, it's very familiar. But this time when I read it, something new struck me. We know Jesus has been teaching for some time. The disciples, they know the crowd is very large. There's no McDonald's close by. They come to Jesus and they say, "Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Send the crowds away. Now, to be sure, they didn't mean that in a negative way. They were just being practical. I mean, they probably were hungry too, but this wasn't one of those times when the disciples were being judgy. They were just being realistic. We don't have anything. Send them away. Jesus, he saw events playing out in a different way. He could not, he did not allow anyone to be sent away. All were fed, and there was food left over. And maybe it hit me so hard, this passage this time, that particular piece of it, the disciples telling Jesus to send them away and then no one being sent away. It seems that we are in a time in our society when so many people are turned away. And when so many people, at least that I talk to, feel like they have been turned away for whatever reason. Too old, too young, too different. Now, Jesus knows that this crowd is massive, 5,000 men plus women and children. He's aware that resources seem limited. Now, it would make sense that they vetted the crowd. We have a little bit of food here. We can't feed everyone. And so they very well could have said, okay, all of you who were born in Israel, you can be fed first. Or they could have said, all right, you've been here listening to this man all day long. All of you who right now promise to follow Jesus, you can be fed. Or something simpler, we'll feed the men. We'll feed only the women. We'll feed only the young, only the old. No. All were fed, and there was more left over. They were not even vetted. I've seen that happen this summer in a very strange way. We have a 10-week program every summer at the library. It's kickoff to kindergarten, rising kindergartners, and kids sign up, and we don't have any limits because we never have registration limits because, I don't know, we just don't. We don't want anybody to be turned away. And we usually get about 20 kids, and that's what we've gotten this year. 20 kids every week. They do register, most of them. And so we have ample space, ample supplies. We're prepared. But just before this program was supposed to start its first week, the Shaler School District approached us with a wonderful idea, and it really is. 3 of those weeks, could we bring a school bus so that these rising kindergartners could get their first experience on a school bus? The schools used to do it individually, but they weren't able to do that this year. So every week, we're getting 20 kids, 20 kids, 18 kids, 22 kids. The first bus day, 50 kids. None of them registered. There they all are. Lots of things going on. Well, it was a little bit stressful for the school and the bus drivers, you know. So they ran the bus trip twice. No big deal. And the second time, and there were 75 kids who showed up. And then last week, there were more than 90 rising kindergartners ready to show up and be on this bus. And that's where it really got tricky. And we were just kind of standing off to the side. I mean, we had our regular program, but the bus was the school district's, and we were there to be supportive and work with them. And you could see the administrators and the principals who were there getting together. What should we do? Do we only give rides to the Shaler kids? After all, this is Shaler area. Do we say your school district probably is going to have something similar? Do we say only kids who are rising kindergartners, no parents or siblings? Only the kids who haven't been on a bus before. Or we could run the buses 3 times, but that would mean we'd have to pay overtime. I guess it was a fine margin. So it looked like it was going to be only the Shaler Area School District kids. Let's just take our kids, was said. But one little, and he's a big guy, but he's little in prominence in the district, just a principal. He said, you know what? They are all our kids. I will drive the bus myself. And so all of the children and all of the caregivers and all of the siblings beside, that bus ran until everybody got to go. And the school district's still there, and the library's still there. And now hopefully some little kindergartners won't be as scared on the first day of school. Nobody was turned away. I don't need to spell out how we can look at this from a national perspective. We can all draw our own conclusions. But I do invite you to think about how it looks from a personal perspective. Who are we called to welcome? Those who just look like us? Those who know God in the same way that we do? With Jesus, those kind of check marks, he doesn't make them. They don't even, those details don't even come into the conversation. Compassion came first. Hungry people, we feed them. And that's one of the reasons why I love the way that we celebrate communion here at Glenshaw Valley. It's open communion. And there are other churches, other Presbyterian churches, that don't celebrate an open communion. And that's not to criticize them. There are traditions. There are bylaws. But here, the way that we do this, no one is vetted by God. Are you lonely? Are you guilty? Are you old? Are you young? Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Manchester City fan? Are you healthy? Are you ill? Are you working, married, baptized, rich, poor? Jesus doesn't ask. Jesus just feeds. And I hope you'll hold that on your heart, in your heart. Sometimes I do wish that we celebrated the communion where, not because I have any kind of special power, but where I, as a servant to you, could hand you the elements. Because in doing that, I get to look people in the eye and I get to say, this is for you. You. So you're all invited to come and be fed because you are not and never will be sent away from our God. Let us prepare to come to the table, rise in body or spirit as we sing, Feed Us, Lord.
Thank you.
we are surrounded by a world of hunger and hurt. We are surrounded by injustices, loneliness, illnesses, and hate. Yet through you, God, we know a different story. Our sacred story tells us of many times when our ancestors dined with you, the divine. And when the Israelites left Egypt, they escaped with little resources. And they moved into the wilderness, and in exile, you rained down sacred, sustained bread from heaven. Our sacred story tells us that when travelers listening to your son got hungry, your son gathered loaves and fish, often believed providing enough for all with 12 baskets to share. And our sacred story also tells us that on the night before Jesus was executed, as he and his friends gathered in a room, Jesus took a loaf of bread. He broke it and said, "When you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And as the night continued, after supper, Jesus took the cup, blessed it, poured its contents, and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. When you drink from it, remember me." May the Spirit of God encircle these gifts with love. Bless these gifts, and in doing so, God, bless the connections between all of us here so that we can be ever more ready to connect with all of your sacred. Tiny cup, a symbol of Christ's sacred blood, poured out for the liberation. Let us take this together. Loving God, we celebrate our gratitude. As this spiritual meal has nourished us, inspired us to feed our neighbors and journey with the lonely. Through you, O God, may we spread love throughout our world and extend your hospitality to us. Amen. And I invite you to rise in the body of your spirit and sing our final hymn. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those whom you love and all those whom no one loves this day, this night, and throughout all eternity. Amen.
Amen.